In the kings of the past, poetry was a great thing. People would compose poetry and they would bring it up to the kings. In turn, they would get some type of remuneration. Many people's life had been dedicated just to poetry. The kings, what they want? They want pleasure, that's all. One is pleasure of the eyes, then one is pleasure of the body, then one is the pleasure of the ears. So the ears want to hear something good. So many poets had dedicated their lives composing nice poetry in praise of the king. Sometimes they have yes men. Sabji, you know Sab. So they've got a lot of money and they want to feel great about themselves. Today you want a lot of money and you want to feel great about yourself, you buy a Mercedes or BM or 4x4. So you feel good about yourself. You still want to feel even more good than was spin those wheels, make an 8, all this, do all that, you feel more great about yourself. So this culture was before, so with time it just changed. At that time there is something else, now there is something else. One king, he had one person just to support him. Whatever he says, he will say, yeah, you know. What do you say is 100%. You get that type of view, they throw you up. What do you say is 100%. Maybe he doesn't understand what he's talking about also. But just to throw him up is to say that. So the king had employed this person here just to support him, whatever he says. When he's in a circle of friends or something, and the king said something really incredible, you know, impossible thing, but somehow he must just support it. So there are two type of pastimes. One was poetry, one was hunting. So hunting was like the sports of the kings. Nothing to do in the world, you go for hunting. So he says, yesterday I went hunting, and you know what a shot I took? The bullet, it ripped the brain box, and it tore the hoof, and came out. Now where's the brain box? Where's the hoof? You know, No reasoning in that. So you got the Sabji. Now the Sabji must say, yes, boss, you know what he's saying? 100%. Yeah, I saw that. You know what happened exactly? The deer actually scratching his head. Somehow I had to make it work, see. So you have this type of hasrat you have. Ranjit Singh was in India. So he was also one of the Indian leaders. So he wanted to take a portrait of himself. But now he was blind with one eye. Now people are thinking, now we're going to take a portrait of this man here. is blind, it wouldn't look so nice, you know. It may be a disgrace for him, insult for him, embarrassing, one-eyed. So one of his poets came up and said, no, I found a story for you. I found a solution for you. What you must do? You must do like you're aiming for one deer, you see. So when you're aiming, you have one eye closed. So let's cover it up for you. Generally, Indians are very, very witty people, very witty. Make a plan for you. Anything, any problem, they can work it out for you. So the Persian king, what happened to him was that he was doing something and some one line of poetry came on his lips. And that line of poetry, Ture Ablag, Kase Kam Dida Bud, a black and a white pearl, you know, that colored pearl is very rarely seen. Dure Ablag, Kase Kam Dida Bud. Black white pearl is very, very seldom, very, very rare. Hardly see something like that. Now, he made that one line, but the poetry has always two lines, see? How small it may be, but it must be joined to the next line that is complete. Can't say Dure Ablak Kase Kam Didabud. There must be another line to complete the poetry. And the poetry came out of his tongue now, and he circulated through the whole world now. Yeah, this poetry came out, and I can't complete it now. So anyway, this thing reached India also. Shah Jahan, one of the kings. Shah Jahan is not this bioscope that we see. It's just named after him. Shah Jahan is the name of one king. So Shah Jahan's daughter Zeybun Nisa, she was applying surma to the eye. So when applying surma to the eye, you know, when you apply surma, then tear comes out, tears, right? Now, but there are something in this life that you can't find an explanation for. Can't find. You'll see anybody applying surma, it takes out his tongue. Why does that? Can you give a logical explanation to it? Can't give. Sometimes there's some things in life, you can't give it any logical explanation. After all, I haven't found. I don't know if someone else finds it. Like if you tickle yourself, you don't feel anything. When someone else tickle you, why? Same thing's happening. You applying your fingers, someone else's fingers. Fingers are being applied, but why you don't feel anything? Any logical explanation? No logical explanation to that. Some things, they are logical explanation. Some, no logical. You can't. Like you'll see a youngster learning to ride a bicycle, right? Say, 10, 12 years of age, and he's just jumped onto a bike learning. So wobbling, falling, coming, right? So if he has a major drop, his first response will be to look around, decide, anybody watches him or not. Then he's worried about his wound. His injury is worried about second, but first, anybody saw him or not. So this Zeybun Nisa, she was applying surma to the eye at night. And whilst applying the surma at night, she saw that the tear dropped. And the tear was white and black, see. She said, I got it now, fixed up. So she says, Magar ashke bota surma alud. Magar ashke bota surma alud. Can't learn this. You have to learn Farsi. If you're not learning Farsi, only Urdu, and Urdu also is all Kachaya. But learn Urdu, Farsi. India, it was a state language. You know, English is a state language. In one zamana, Persian was a state language. Now, for the madrasas also, they're taking out India. not all, but quite a few madrasas, they take out Farsi also, Persian. So he says, Magar ashke bota surma alud. But the tea of the beloved mixed with surma. What? The tea of the beloved mixed with surma. So now she found, you know, it's making sense. Dure ablak kase kam dida bud. Magar ashke bota surma alud. So she completed it. Now that king that said, he were excited, hey, who is this genius now that completed this poetry of mine? He heard it was a woman now. And who is this genius that completed this poetry of mine? So this poet, they have a takhallus. Takhallus like it's like a poet's name, you know. Like one poet's name would be Ahmak. There are some fantastic names they have. They have their names. So her name was Makhfi. Right? Makhfi. That was the takhallus. Takhallus now is a poetic name. So now the king is making a big survey. If the king says, you know, he's a Persian king, this side is an Indian king. It's a demand. Although it's a tall order, but when the king is making that request, then you have to respect it. Now, she doesn't want to make a public display of herself. See, in that zamana, people had a lot of shame. Although they went into all this nonsense poetry and all, but still they had modesty. So they didn't go and display themselves. And this effect also rubbed onto the non-Muslims. It rubbed onto the non-Muslim to such an extent. One white woman, she writes, you know, about modesty, shame, etc. And then she says, if a woman is not for sale, then why must she advertise herself? See the words, if she's not for sale, why must she advertise it? In other words, that woman that is adorning herself and dolling herself and coming out of the house, what is she doing? She's advertising, isn't it? So if you're not for sale, then why are you advertising? So they had respect. Now they lost everything. White, black, Indian, everybody lost their respect. Gone now. Before, when we were small, in the 60s, a black woman would wear a dress to this length. Just above her. You know, like how we make the long kurtas around there. And thick cloth. You know, nothing see-through. And when the girl reaches at about 12, she's got a scarf over her head. Now if it's a professional woman, she wants to wear shirt and a pants. She feels respect in that. But that zamana I seen, I used to sell the shop also, same cloth. I know I can still picture that cloth also, thick cloth. And that was like the standard, they must wear that. They had so much, even the black had so much of shame. So, what we are talking about is, now this girl wants to conceal her modesty. She doesn't want to advertise her modesty. See? We don't realize sometimes we get caught in a rut. And we do things what we're not supposed to be doing. One woman wrote up to me some days back that I am at home. What's there if I wear tight clothes, jeans, and tops and all that? So it's an innocent question. The way she's asking, like as though she's very innocent. And she doesn't know that she's already in a trap. So I wrote back to her. One is the mushabhat and all that. I didn't write that. What I told her, that I want to know from you, tell me exactly, that you live at home, right? So you may be getting guests, and you may be getting people that are frequenting the home, like your cousins, Right? And sometimes you are talking to the garden boy, instructing him to do this and that, right? So, are these strangers, that garden boy, that cousin, etc., and you are coming before him with the tights and the jeans and all that, is that right? Do you have any shame in you? Right. Obviously, they will interact. They'll talk to this one here, talk to that one. One cousin is coming, one uncle is putting off. Coming sometimes Fuwaji, one Masaji. They're all not mahrams. Fuwaji and Masaji, they're not mahrams. So they're pulling into the house, they're coming out of the house. And then you are waiting this type of clothing. He can get attracted. So the respect of a woman is when she has got modesty. That's a respect. And the moment she's stripped of her modesty, there's no respect in her. Then she's public property. See, like how this with hostess and all is public property. Everybody must admire. That is, woman that's walking, has stepped out of the house as though they are saying they are public property. See. So now public property, who wants to use it? It's used a couple of, again and again, time and again it's used. Everybody uses it. Everybody finds it that it's used, like toilet paper. Public property is like toilet paper. Everybody uses it, right? And they throw it away. They use it and they throw it away. So the used paper, who wants to use it? Used toilet paper, you want to use it? No, it's finished. So the respect of the woman is when she's at home. Not touched, untouched. لَمْ يَتْمِسْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. You also don't want any of your public, your personal thing to be touched. So when Allah speaks about the hoors of Jannat, لَمْ يَتْمِثُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. Nobody has touched them, untouched. Even jinnat haven't touched them. Forget insan, not even jinnat touched them. Now she had to write back because it's a tall order when Shah Jahan, the king, when he caught this tall order from the Persian king, so he tells his daughter, yeah, write more poetry, then you get more orders coming for you. So she said, why are you getting ghabrat? I'll find a solution for this. So she wrote another poetry. Now her takhallus, as I said, was makhfi. So she wrote back to him, makhfi manam, chubua gul darbar ke gul. Makhfi manam chubua gul darbar ke gul. I am concealed like the fragrance of the rose within the petal of the rose. See that? Good words, isn't it? All for youngsters, good words, exciting words, especially in Etikav now. Do you think more? مخفي منم چوبوه گل دربر کے گل. I am concealed like the fragrance of the rose within the petals. Right. Can you see the fragrance? Can't see the fragrance. It's concealed, isn't it? So she says that I am concealed like the fragrance of the rose within the petals. But now, that is one line. I told you poetry, you have to have two lines. So how she ends it up? So she ends it up like this. Har ke deedan, mail darad, dar sakhuna ma deed. If anybody is interested in looking at me, then they must look into my words. See, مخفي منم چو بوه گل در بر کے گل ہر کے دیدن میل داری در سخون ما دید. If you want to see me, they must see me with my words. Like how you want to see the fragrance, you see the petal. The petal is the thing that conceals the whole thing, right? So you want to see me, I am concealed within my words. Right? So there were those men that were trying to be fooled, and those women also were quite sharp, you see. Yeah, also quite sharp. One of those kings now says, "No, I just want to feel the texture of your hands, you know. So beautiful words are coming out, so just the texture of your body, I just want to see it." Yeah. So this girl wrote back, "You want to feel the texture of a girl, feel the texture of your daughter." Girl, you know, the feel of a girl, of a daughter, of a girl, isn't it? Feel your daughters now, finish. Now, no words is good. They were also quite smart. So that was when they had shame, modesty. So any nation, they are on the rise when they've got modesty and shame. But if they stripped of their modesty and shame, they're going on the decline. They're falling very bad. You must have heard of this Genghis Khan, you know. In the 6th century or 7th century, he raided all this Iraq and Baghdad, you know, Genghis Khan. So, it was Mu'tasim Billah, but Mu'tasim Billah caused it for himself. See, Genghis Khan had sent an envoy for some talks or whatever, they had some trade talks, you see. So now Mu'tasim Billah killed all those people. Now obviously Genghis Khan got very annoyed. So he sent his armies and he raided the whole country. When he raided the whole country, so he took control of his slave girls. Who Genghis Khan took control of Mu'tasim's slave girl. But now this one slave was exceptionally beautiful, too beautiful, beyond description. She was so good. You know? So the Genghis was infatuated. See, when you want to collapse, and you want to drop one whole big nation, just put one woman in between, and you demolish any nation, any person you can demolish it. Just put a girl in between. They do this espionage before to sabotage. They do it now also. Same, just put one girl in. That's a carrot between. So he got infatuated with this girl, and night and day can't resist. Now this girl, she wasn't touched by him yet. But though she was a slave woman, but her level of modesty was too high, very high. Now she knows that I can't resist, I can't prevent myself. Because he's a king. King, what control he doesn't have? He has all controls he has. She can't go to any court, any law and complain. She can't. Apart from that, she's a slave girl. So she has got no say of her own. Now she needs to work a way out. So if people have got that level of modesty, they work this themselves out. So anyway, he got into a conversation with the Yah, and she began to speak and extol the virtues and the praises of Mu'tasim Billah. That was the king. He was like this, and he's like this, and like this. As he's extolling the virtues, so she says, "Yeah, you know, he's got one thing he gave me, and that was on Taweez, you know. The Taweez, you place it anywhere, any person that's got the Taweez, nothing can hurt him. A sword, a blade, a gun, nothing will affect him." The king got interested, you know, "Hey, this is what we need, because you can just photo this and pass it to the entire army. Nobody will get affected now." But she's sweet talking him, you see. And then she goes on to say, "But you know what? It's such a thing, you know. You want, you can try it out also. Try it out. Try it on me. If you want, you can try it out on me. I'll keep it. And I'll take the sword and you try it on me. It can, you know, you put me anywhere, drown me, nothing will happen. Try and drown me, try and drop a wall over me, try and shoot me, try and behead me, nothing will happen." So now he bought that story and he drew out his sword and he chopped her. Head went far. Right. What if she got herself out of this? She didn't want her chastity to be broken by this person, right? So she preserved her chastity. We won't say that, you know, it was halal for her to do it, but I'd be showing you the level of the chastity and the self-respect. What level they had. She preferred dying, she preferred to be killed rather than allow her chastity to be interfered and invaded. When Muhammad bin Qasim had invaded India, so he came across one king. They had a small rajas, you see. Rajas is like this, how you get these indunas. Small indunas, they call them raja. So he came across one of these rajas, and he heard that that raja, he married his own sister. So he told his army that this man is nothing. We may be small in number, we may be 100 and he may be 10,000, but he's nothing. Because he has fell into lust. When he's fell into lust, you see, when you're fighting, right, then you're emotional about it. Right? You're emotional because you're defending something. What are you defending? You're defending your honor. Your honor is because of your religion or the principle that you stand for. Right? So don't you become emotional when your religion is being challenged. When your religion is being challenged, don't you become emotional? Like you saw the istima just now. So how the youngsters, any time of the day and night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, patrolling. And so you become emotional. It's your religion, right? Your religion, so you become emotional. You want to do something. Even if it be that you want to risk your life, you want to do it because it's your religion is on the block, you see. Now, a religious person has got some scruples. Every religion, any person belonging to any religion, he doesn't stoop so low as to marry his own sister, right? So this Muhammad bin Qasim said, hey, this person, this Dahir, he's got no religion. So when he's got no religion, then he won't be so enthusiastic to fight because he stooped down to lust. So you can easily eliminate him. It was such, he eliminated him and very easily just ran over him, mowed him down. But I'm showing you that this self-respect, ghairat, modesty, you know, it's a very integral part of your faith. Hayau shu'batum min al-iman. The more you've got that, then the more respect, self-dignity, nobility. And the moment you start losing that, then you lost. You are nothing. You're just a furniture. The wealth is immaterial, but if you got that shame, modesty, then you are worth something. And you don't have that, then you're just a furniture. Like I said, you're a public property, like a toilet paper, now used and thrown. So it's when it's used and thrown, who wants to pick it up? Nobody wants to use it. So when these things are being eroded, then it's like the jihad of the time. The other time is to bring up modesty, to fight for modesty within the home, within the people that you can influence, to encourage them. And really, if women are given the right encouragement, they will show you what they are. But what happens to us is we don't give them the right encouragement. A man, many times, he marries a beautiful woman and just to impress his friends, see how beautiful my wife is. So you're making an advertisement of your wife, showing other people how beautiful she is. Now you get these complaints coming to me. And now that you got married and then I mustn't cover my face, I must wear tights and move with him on the street. Now she doesn't want to do this type of thing. So what are you doing? You're unveiling your wife for who? For the public. She wasn't meant for the public, she was meant for you. What was the need for you to unveil her like that? So what she says, مخفی منم چوبوه گل در برگ گل هر که دیدن میل دارد در سخن ماه ببین. I want to see Darsakunama Babi. You must look into my kalam. Because like the fragrance is concealed within the petal, then my beauty is concealed within my words. So every person has a love for his Rabb, right? You have love for everything. And the greatest love you have is for your Rabb. Because this feelings of Rabb, this, you know, exciting feelings of love, is a creation of Allah Ta'ala. Who's created that feelings of love within your bosom? Who's created it? Allah Pak has created. And then He's created a place to satisfy yourself. He's created that within you, and the place for satisfying. Right? You don't see where a person is madly in love then. Then his brains can't work. His brains can't work. Until he doesn't find that place of satisfaction, then his mind can't work. He must have that place of satisfaction, now his mind starts working again. So, I think someone was telling me, they took me to the dairy farm, you know. So somebody explained, you know, that the cows are on the heat. So I asked, how do you make out that it's on the heat? So they won't feed. They won't eat at all until it doesn't, you don't find something for her. It can't eat. It can't concentrate on anything. So you need to give the thing whatever it needs, then it can concentrate again, start milking everything. So this heat of love is such, okay, you can't concentrate on anything after that. But the thing, you become a slave to that, that you can't concentrate. That is why they want people to fail in the university and the high schools, right? They want them to fail. So because they want them to fail, therefore they encourage co-ed, encourage more and more illicit behavior in the university. So the university makes so much more money. One person coming in, entrance fee, this fee, that fee. By the time he ends that year, is 20,000-30,000 already gone. This person's coffers are getting filled. And they are worried about who's failing and how many is coming and all that. The more business, come there, park, and go out, not park, for them, what they worried about? They are worried about anything. They are just worried about money. It's a money-making business. You know, I was talking to one lecturer in economics. So I told him, in my understanding, I'm carefully trying to look at this whole university thing. To me, it seems like a pure monopolized business. See, 100, he told me 100%. I was shocked. I'm thinking myself how they did it. I came to the conclusion it's a monopolized thing. Well, there's very, very little education given. But that ambience seems like, you know, very, very exciting. Hey, this and that, you must do physics and this and whatever else. Right? Go for this lecture and semester. They don't say terms and all, no, bigger words, semester and all that. Deliver your papers and all. So they make it look important. But within the framework of that, there's hardly any education. It's a lot of freedom in that. So when you find a lot of freedom, you feel you're someone now. At least I got my freedom now, I can do what I want. In that now, the woman is strewn around there everywhere, like dirt, right? So you are throwing yourself, alcohol, woman. So is that education then? Where in the world you find that education, alcohol freely available, woman freely available, and go and educate yourself? Where do you find that? You know, they're making Alibabas of them. Really. Really, they're making Alibabas of these youngsters. Their life is getting wasted. And very few of them are coming out really educated. Very, very few. I will say, you know, from the first year that people have gone till they've become professional people, I think it's about 10 or 15% that really come out professional. That was everybody. What's happening? 85% is their business. Like, they're going to have a nice, they're going to be very dogmatic, scrupulous and all that. Then they perhaps will have an 85% pass rate. You know? And that is not good for their business. The business come and park and run around, play around with girls and all that, say they're going to university. So they, for each one, they're cashing in how much? 20,000-30,000 rand. So 1,000 people went in, how much? How much money did we get? So education also can't work with all this, but the lewd behavior can't work. I was looking at one article. They compare co-ed against single, you know. They found a 75% difference where it was single ed to co-ed. What a big difference. Obviously now it's a co-ed, right? Co-ed school. In the class, what happens now? Now, the boy is more interested in the girl that is sitting next to him. So he dresses up, he presents himself, he'll talk, he'll bring some gifts. And after 1-2 times, she'll also do the same. So more than what the teacher has to teach, they worried about each other. Their concentration is gone. How are they going to work? Any businessman will understand this. What I'm talking about, who would have seen your business have a man and a woman working together and see how the business works. They're not concentrating on the business. They're concentrating on each other. Their focus has turned away from the business to the opposite sex. So how can your business prosper? This is common sense. But like I say, they want more dumb people in the world. See, so when there's dumb people, right, then you can control them easily. You know, I told that person, it's just a monopoly. So they want more dumb, stupid people, so they can control. Everybody is educated, they can think and reason very well, they can't control them. Can they control? They can't control. But they're dumb, stupid. Now you're getting people coming here, right? They're coming, they're passing at 8. And you ask them to write true or false. They can't even write true or false. How are they passing at 8? Allah Bhag knows. They can't even write true or false. They can't spell South Africa. Can't write true or false. What is this? It's a real, it's a collapse of education. The whole education system has collapsed. Imagine a boy went 10 years to school. I can imagine his parents, how they must have struggled. You know, on the street, I see one guard boy. So he's working for someone. So he complains, my salary is so little, you know, 2,000 or 3,000. Right, about 3,000 he's earning. So I just earn that money so that I could supplement my children's education. Now, he's working so hard for a chap, right? 3,000 he's earning. Right? Now, that is the government stipulated 3,000 something, so he gets 3,000. So I'm just working to supplement my child's education. Now I'm seeing, look at these boys here, they're up to standard 8. So the parents, what are they? They think, oh, the child in a few years, he'll stand for himself, he can progress in life. But this is what they're doing to him. They're wasting his time, his energy, everything is being wasted. Nobody's worried, nobody's concerned. It's our coffers are getting filled, the child's time's getting passed. But what progress? What progress is he making? So, see, we are human beings. Even if it's a non-Muslim, then we should feel for them, that they must progress, they must come up, there must be justice, there must be goodness. Now this, you heard about this Rwanda, right? The Hutsi and Tutsi and all that, right? The stories. Rwanda, that fight was carrying on. In that fight, approximately they lost about 2 million people. You must have heard this, Rwanda, all these problems that were taking place. Now the Jamaat went and came back. They said, you can't find a peaceful country like Rwanda now. That war has ended now. There was one small istima that was giving a report. You can't find a peaceful country as Rwanda. Now, they made that, they want to make that country progress. So they brought some discipline. So how they brought the discipline is that if you, it's a first time offender, they'll prison you, right? 10 days or something, they'll prison you. The second time, you got a 70% chance of being killed. They'll kill you and you will never be found again. They'll kill you and you'll never be found again. Now, it says you get, it's so peaceful in that country now, at any time of the day, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, it's a woman, solitary woman walking the street, she's not scared. You know, in Makkah, you get those people, these money changers. In the middle of the street, you get the money changer, one person, and you got loads of money, you got riyals, dollars, all the rank. At any time of the day, you got the money lenders. Not lenders, money changers. They stay on the street. And nobody to even eye them. But they brought it, they brought some discipline, so now you can walk on the streets quite freely. Then they got Saturday as a community day. What they mean by community day, you can't work on that day. So you must help out your neighbor, your neighbor must help you. If you got any problem, any errand, your water car is not working, or the grass needs to be attended to, or something needs to be corrected in your home. So each one must help the other. Now, when you put your mind together, you can get some system, the country progresses. But as a Muslim, this is how we should be thinking, you know. That how, what can I do for the next person? How can he progress? Right? Now you see, like the youth in this day, right? They don't know how to budget themselves. They have become you know, like they say that word, they say, just do it. You know? What is that English word? Huh? No, the other word. Impulse, huh? Yeah, impulsive. You got the money, or just impulses buy. You got, say, a wage salary now, say, 4,000, 5,000 salary. Impulsive behavior. And you find a nice pair of shoes, you bought that, 3,500 rand. How much left with 500 rand? Now, how is this going to pull you through the end of the month? That you're going to rob, cheat, make false promises, etc. But if you only budgeted yourself, then it could be enough for you. You would have still extra. You will be happy, your wife will be happy, and your children will be happy. But now they create an impulsive behavior and then create problems for people. That marketing is so aggressive that they create this type of an impulsive behavior in that normal person. He never sees wealth. He's always in debts. Right? So when this is what's going on, then kindness towards the creation of Allah Ta'ala means in this circumstance, let's tease them by. Or you got a business now, don't just strip them of their wealth. Show them by, you got responsibilities, you got rental, you got lights, you got water, you got groceries, you've got a wife, you've got children, medication, education, and how you need to plan yourself. Now, one day the child becomes educated, that family comes up, won't they be appreciative? Think, you know, they brought me up. I didn't know how to budget. And they taught me how to do it. Won't they appreciate? So it is, when you see other human beings falling down, that it is not our work to push them deeper into the hole. Our work is to bring them up. One day, they will appreciate, perhaps they'll come to Islam one day. They say, you know, the Muslims look at us, they look at us differently. If we are falling, they don't press us deeper. Rather, they try to bring us up. See? So this is a need of the time. The need of the time. Many times you find these youths now, either they impulsive or they short-sighted, they're flirting with women. Now that is an expensive hobby. To be flirting, it's an expensive hobby. Or someone is got a little bit of money, then they're moving in fast cabs, right? Fast cars. That's also an expensive hobby. One person was here, so he tells me that his some friend, got a Porsche. It's a fast car, right? So the monthly installment for that car that he just drives once a week, you know, once a week just on a Saturday evening, running around, impressing the friends and all that. Right? So this only once a week, just running around here. And the monthly installment that he pays is 100,000 rands. 100,000 rands, monthly installments. That thing was about 8 million. You can imagine what would be the installments then. Obviously, so is it worth it? Four times a month he's driving the thing just around the block, impressing this person, that person. And what is the expense of the car? See? So The wealthy is also wasting, and the average is also wasting, the poor is also wasting. They don't know what is the meaning of budgeting, what is to feel for the community, feel for others, help him out, bring him up, try and, if he's in straitened circumstances, try and show him a path. See? Now, if you're making zikr, only making zikr, by I did my ibad, everything, my mamulat I did. But help that person out. I mean, jamaat, I just spend my 40 days, that's one thing, alright. But helping your neighbor, helping this person, show him some light, show him some understanding, isn't that your duty? To guide that person, even if he's a non-Muslim, that person provided water to a dog and got jannat. So this person, you educate him, teach him a little bit, or this is how you budget, you'll have something surplus, you won't be on the streets, you won't be begging, borrowing, you know, you won't be in constraints. So isn't that a charitable work? Isn't that something that we're supposed to be looking into? How we can bring people up? Now when they'll be up, then there'll be less, inshallah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, then there'll be less violence. Right? You won't have this type of crime, you won't have that crime. See? But it's just to put your mind together, pull your resources together, try and understand, work out solutions for people. The solution is not only confined to one thing, making zikr, this khanqa, or this tabliq, or just educating the person, but no, sit down, try and make him understand, bring him up. Spend some time, make him understand what is virtue, what is vice, what is budgeting, what is saving, how do you spend, you know, where's, there's an alternate to life, you know, and how you should be conducting your life. Is that not important? He's also the child of Adam alayhi salam, right? Whoever it is, but he's also the child of Adam. Teach him, guide him, correct him, make him understand. Allah pak tawfiq naseeb kare. We make dua today. Ruwait make dua today.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواصينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا وهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعظائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا جاهلا إلا علمته ولا مسافرا إلا بلغته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والله يا الله سبحانه وتعالى ف forgive our sins, O Allah. O Creator of the skies and the earth, O Creator of the moon and the sun, forgive our sins, O Allah. O Allah, we are sinning at every moment, O Allah. Forgive us the sins that we did knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally. O Allah, you gave us so many ni'mas, but we are such that we do not appreciate your ni'mas, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, you gave us this ni'mat of iman. Now how we are appreciating this ni'mat, O Allah. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, please forgive our sins, O Allah. O Allah, give us the true understanding of deen, O Allah. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, at this moment we are present in the month of Ramadan. Grant us forgiveness and maghfirat in this month of Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said ameen to the baddua of Jibreel alayhi salam, that cursed is that destruction is upon that person that met the month of Ramadan and did not get the forgiveness of Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not make us among from those people, O Allah. O Allah, make us from among those people who are pious, righteous, min as-siddiqin, shuhada, wa salihin. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us jannatul firdaus, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us towards good a'mal. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us through good a'mal and make those a'mal serve us in the akhirat, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people that are in need of help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you help them. O Allah, those brothers that are suffering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you grant them ease, O Allah. O Allah, everybody needs you. Everybody needs you, Allah. You are ghani, independent, everybody depends on you, Allah. O Allah, in this month of Ramadan, grant us freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Itqu min an-nar, O Allah. O Allah, we cannot support the fire of this world. How will we support the fire of Jahannam? O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are suffering through our sins. People are dying through our sins, O Allah. O Allah, please forgive us, O Allah. Grant us a place in Jannah, O Allah. Grant us a place in Jannah, O Allah. O Allah, grant us the love of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the true love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the tawfiq of following each and every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the true love of Allah. Grant us the true love of Allah. Make every step of our life, make every step of our life to be following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.